Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time?
Mr. Chairman, there are no changes.
Okay. Any members?
Motion to approve the agenda is printed.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Hudson and a second by Mr. Mills that we approve this evening's agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. The agenda is approved. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and to ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comment made on the basis of bias and stereotypes concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and to be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board will then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all of the testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you are here for a case listed under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. In addition, items listed under old business are considered after all of the new public hearings, and you are advised it might be late in the evening when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we would request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting. That being said, Mr. Chairman, we had one that was, we had a meeting last Monday night that ended a very late hour, and the board had tabled the discussion and vote on case number 11296. Involving the application of AT&T for a special use exception for a cell tower. At that time, we were hoping to have it on this week's agenda, but we realized that we did not meet the 7-day notice requirement after the meeting had ended for proper notice. So because of that, it is not listed on the agenda as old business. I understand it will be on the agenda for the next meeting, which is in January. I believe the Planning and Zoning Office is we'll be making a revision to that agenda to include that item there. Okay. So we will not be discussing that this evening. It's one of those things I just wanted to bring to the attention of the board and to any of the public that may be here for observation of the board's discussion on that application. So.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Sharp. Appreciate that. Okay. First case then, please.
Yes, the first application is case number 11299, the application of John Duffy and Tom Boucher. I probably said that wrong. I apologize. At the location of the south side of U.S. Route 9, north side of Beaver Dam Road, half mile west of Delaware Route 1 at Five Points, and being identified on the tax rolls as the original parcel number as being 334, map 5, parcel 176 and 177. And requesting a variance from the side yard setback requirement from an environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone subdivision and being titled Deep Valley Farm. To be more specific, the applicant is requesting a 2-foot variance from the required 10-foot side yard setback for lots within an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone subdivision. That would change it to an 8-foot setback if the board so chose to approve this application. On this application, we received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, and I did receive one mail return for an incorrect address.
Okay.
And there's no comment from any agency or individual. I would ask that I'm passing down copies of the reduced copy of the subdivision so you don't have to look at the real large ones.
All right, thank you for that. All right, sir.
Please, the board, I need to have Mr. Davidson, Mr. Duffy sworn. And
all right, sir.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Matt Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
John Duffy, 11616 Woodfield Road, Ellicott City, Maryland, 21014.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm the attorney of record for the applicants in this case. The property owners are John Duffy and Tom Boucher, who own this property in the name of an LLC, which is Lewis Crossing Capital Partners, LLC. Mr. Duffy is with me this evening and is authorized to speak on behalf of the LLC. And I have Mark Davidson, whom I believe you all know from Pannoni Engineering, who is the design professional in this case. This site is located on Route 9 and also on Sussex County Road 285, directly across from the property, which is occupied by the Nassau Vineyards project that contains the two large mixed-use buildings. It's 88.44 acres, has 192 lots on it, zoned AR1 single family dwelling under the ESDDOZ overlay zone. Currently, as approved by the Planning Commission, the lots are allowed at 60 feet in width under this proposed zone or under the current application. The smallest lot is 66 feet in width, and Mr. Davidson will explain to you in just a moment why we need to have a reduction of the side yard setbacks by 2 feet on each side. This property is currently known as Deep Valley Farm. It may have a change of name at some time in the not-too-distant future to Lewis Crossing, and it has been before you before in March of 2011 on the application of Paul Carey. At that time, there were three applications made. One of them was for an entrance sign, the other one was for some silos, and the third one was for some side yard setbacks, but the application was withdrawn at that time. However, if they'd have kept them, we wouldn't be here tonight. So, with those thoughts in mind, I'll have Mr. Davidson come to the podium and describe for you what the application is for and why it's necessary for this project. Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson, and I am with Pannoni Associates. We are the engineers and the surveyors of record for this particular project. Just a quick, and Mr. Schrader had gone through a quick history of this. We started working on this back in 2007. It is a subdivision named Deep Valley. We worked with the Graves family at that time to take this subdivision through all agency approvals. And we received back in May of 2012 final subdivision approval, and then after that, in June of 2012, we recorded this subdivision as a 192-lot subdivision. Again, this subdivision is zoned AR1, and it's in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. As stated, we are requesting a 2-foot variance from the 10-foot setbacks down to 8 feet wide on each side yard setback. This 192-lot single-family subdivision, when approved, did not exceed the density that was allowed under the current zoning of the AR1 or the ESDDOZ. And because of the environmentally sensitive overlay zone, the project was able to reduce the lot sizes down to 7,500 square feet And as Mr. Schrader stated, that we are, we're allowed a minimum lot width of 60 feet. Mm-hmm. The exhibit that we passed out show that out of the 192 approved lots, there are 92 lots within this subdivision that are less than 70 feet wide, and I'll get to why that, why we're making that distinction. In order, the 8-foot setback will allow us to be able to create 50-foot wide building envelopes. So with the minimum lot size right now, it's 66 and a half feet. And again, they range from 66 and a half feet, those 92 lots, from 66 and a half up to about 68 feet, all being less than the 70 feet that is needed in order to be able to create a 50-foot wide building building envelope. When Mr. Duffy and Mr. Bercher purchased the subdivision back in May of this year from the Graves family, they brought in their builder, which was going to be Ryan Holmes. In the packets that we've submitted as part of the application, you're going to see some typical house plans that Ryan Holmes is proposing for this project. And those house plans are, you'll notice that there's one- and two-story house plans, and they all have two-car garages. So in order to meet some of the, in order to be able to meet the majority of the houses that they want to build, we need at least 50-foot building envelope for the majority of these lots within the subdivision. The setback variance is necessary to allow the variety of housing types to be placed throughout the subdivision that will offer superior, unmatched style to the community, which will give the home builder the flexibility in the house placements. You'll notice that the shaded areas, the shaded lots within this subdivision on the exhibit passed out, kind of congregate most of the lesser than 70-foot lots in one area, in certain areas. Just, and again, up here on the majority of them are up here along Route 9. We have some of them as you come in the entrance of Deep Valley Farm to the left and to the right, and across the street on what we call the lower 40 of Deep Valley Farm. It's across Beaver Dam Road. There's quite a few along there. By allowing the 50-foot wide building envelope throughout, making it uniform, will actually give that flexibility for the builder to be able to place the style homes that he wants to, that they want to build out here. Back when planning this project, the stated goal of the design of Deep Valley Farm was not to exceed the maximum density of the 2.178 units per acre that is allowed under the current code. The other thing was when designing this subdivision was the protection of the wetlands area, which is down in the lower right-hand corner. We were trying to preserve most of the wetlands. There is a wooded section up in this area here that we were trying to preserve. It is on, along the westerly boundary line. That's where the open space is. That's where the clubhouse and the pool is gonna go within the subdivision. Again, that was all part of trying to preserve this. And what we've been able to do with this subdivision is every lot within the subdivision as it currently stands backs up to some form of open space. There's not one lot within this subdivision that backs up to another lot. So we were able to create with this style of subdivision a sufficient amount of open space. Matter of fact, more important, about 32.6 acres of open space was created. Under the code, we only needed to create about 8 acres. But this type of design, being able to reduce the lot sizes down to 7,500, and again, we didn't increase density over the code. We kept the density that was allowed under the code. We were able to create a nice open space subdivision here. And so with that, what we would, we're trying to preserve that open space. So the decrease in the setbacks to 8 feet would be would allow us to continue to keep that open space. With this variance, the other thing I wanted to point out is this entire subdivision has a buffer going around the entire, all the boundary lines within this subdivision, even along the Del Dot Road frontage. There's landscaping buffers
road right-of-ways along here, and there's a buffer around the entire subdivision that's part of the open space. So, again, keeping these lots the size that we are without increasing them to meet the setbacks for the houses, we're able to keep this open space. With the variance, there will be no changes to the road layout or to the traffic or to any of the approved entrances for the subdivision. All drainage improvements will remain the same as approved. Submitted in the package, I submitted the fire marshal regulations. You'll notice that under the fire marshal regulations that with Tidewater has the water out here. With Central Water, we have fire hydrants throughout the subdivision, meeting the minimum requirements for the fire marshal. And if you'll notice that the setbacks for the fire marshal with fire hydrants meeting the minimum flow requirements of 500 gallons per day, 20 PSI for 1 hour duration, the minimum setback out here is zero. So we're not increasing anything that the fire marshal wouldn't already allow, has already approved, and I also submitted as part of the record the updated approved fire marshal approval for the 8-foot setbacks. Property values will increase with the ability to provide the larger houses and the variety of housing types that can be planned with the variance. The subdivision is currently under construction, but no lots have been sold, nor has any building permits been issued so the variance request is across the board for the entire subdivision, so that the character of this neighborhood will not be altered in any way. Every lot will benefit from the same side yard setback. This is the minimum variance necessary to allow for the 50-foot wide housing type being proposed for this subdivision by the home builder. With 92 of the lots being less than 70 feet wide, the 2-foot variance from the side yard setback will guarantee that each lot has at least a 50-foot wide building envelope. And with that, I'll have Mr. Schrader come back up and finish.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Mr. Duffy, could you join me at the podium, please? And you are John Duffy?
Yes, I am.
And you're one of the principals of Lewis, I'll make sure I get it right, Lewis Crossing Capital Partners, LLC. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you all are the owners of this particular tract of land?
Yes, we are.
And you've heard that everything that Mr. Davidson had to say this evening. Do you adopt those statements as if they were made by you?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Gentlemen, without completely re-arguing and over-talking this application, the idea is to protect a zoning classification that's provided for open space, forested areas, and keep that by not changing the number of lots, but simply by reducing the amount of the side yard by about 24 inches on each side. Our argument is based upon the idea that we could have had 60-foot wide lots. We have 66-foot wide lots. If you subtract 20 from that, that means we're going to have 46-foot wide building envelope for houses that are 50 feet wide, and we need to pick up the 4 feet in order to attend to the market demands upon my client's property for 50-foot wide homes, typically with 2-car garages. At this time, I'd ask that everything that Mr. Davidson and I have had to say and everything that we've brought for you tonight or have filed with the board be made part of the record, and I'll make the three of us available for any questions that you may wish to ask.
All right. Thank you for that. Well, let's see. Are there any questions from members of the board at this time? Mr. Mills, I'll start with you.
No questions.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Mr. Rickard?
Yeah, I'm curious, Mr. Schrader. When the DelDOT did their traffic impact study, what did they say about that dump out there, all the traffic that would dump out on the line and on Beaver Dam Road, right there at Five Points. Was there any comments on that?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Davidson on that, Mr. Rickard.
No, there was no impact to the road.
There was no impact at all to either one of them.
Beaver Dam Road
or Beaver Dam.
No, Route 9. We no longer have an entrance out on Route 9.
Pardon me?
We no longer have an entrance out.
Oh, you no longer have one?
Our entrances are strictly on Beaver Dam
Road. Beaver Dam Road?
Yes.
And there was no impact as far as...
What we are doing, though, is we are improving. We are rebuilding the road section along this stretch of Beaver Dam Road.
Okay.
We're providing protected left turn lanes in the both entrances. We're widening it, putting shoulders out there, and improving the drainage improvements out there.
I know it has nothing to do with the variance. It has to do with, you know, education of what's going on out there. So there will be, like, reconstruction of that road out there.
That is correct. For a good portion of that Beaver Dam Road in front of our project. And then a little bit, the points beyond, we're going to be extending that with those improvements a little bit further past our project.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Workman?
No question.
And I'm Mr. Calloway. I have no further questions. So are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11,299 for the 192 units for the 2-foot variance, side yard variance that they're asking. They have addressed the standards. There is uniqueness to the property. Of course, the 60-foot wide and 7,500 square feet, which would make it unique. Variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. I have stated that. The unnecessary hardship has been addressed as a sensitive environmental area, and also the fact that a variance will not alter the central character of the neighborhood. There's other homes in that area of the same statute. And the request of the variance is minimum that will afford relief, and the request of the variance represents the least modification possible of the regulation.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 11,299. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And Mr. Rick?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons that were stated.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reasons that had been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,299 is approved.